At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
And we are live. SB Talk Sports, Sean Webb. Real takes over fake debates. It is Monday, Sean. A lot of things happened over the weekend. Before we get into it, how are you doing today, brother?
Doing good, SB. How you doing today?
A lot of mixed feelings right now. I want to say salute Tiffany in the chat. Salute Lee Diggity. I already know Lee because they said, look, the Bulls got robbed. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about my Bulls getting robbed, allegedly. You know, sometimes it's 50-50 on that, but it's definitely that. But, Sean, a lot of things has been going down. The NBA world has been literally shocked and devastated. Never thought I would see this at a point in time. Luka Doncic, one of the best players in the league, especially at the age of 25, probably not even in his full prime yet, has been traded. That is wicked work. Then we had like De'Aaron Fox getting traded. We got the Warriors in trade news. And honestly, Sean, we got some NFL news. Before we get into it, where was you? You know, we just got to ask that. It's so shocking. Where was you when you heard the news, and what was your honest reaction?
I was at home and happened to be hanging out with some of the fellow brothers we know in Discord, and the news broke then, and many of us thought it was couldn't be real. Like, we thought, okay, maybe Shams got hacked, and like, no way this could have happened, blah, blah. And so for the next 10 or 15 minutes, it basically went on, you know, the search of trying to figure out, you know, was this real, and going to other outlets, and it started getting retweeted. And of course, once it broke news on SportsCenter, it was like, are you serious? And, you know, certainly over the last, you know, 48 or almost 48 hours, you know, I've had a chance to process things and take in a lot of information, hear from, you know, the Dallas side of it, terms of their GM Nico Harrison, and so a lot of different things out here. Still doesn't feel completely real, but obviously once you see, you know, Luka in another uniform on the court, you know, it's just a reminder. You know, I was trying to find, you know, a historical equivalent, not someone who actually got moved, but if someone got moved at that age. And I thought about, what if the Bulls had traded Michael Jordan in 1989?
That'd be crazy.
I know there was some talk at a certain point that he basically went to Reinsdorf and said, it's either me or Krause. Mm-hmm. And that because of that, there was some conversation with the Clippers on like a six-player trade for Jordan. Of course, it never happened.
Jordan was retired before that happened, which he did.
Well, I mean, you know, but this was like 1989, so I don't know if he would have retired, but, you know, and or if the Lakers had traded Magic Johnson in 1984 after getting to the finals and losing, you know, Magic was, you know, was about to turn 25 at that point, you know, so it was kind of trying to find some equivalents of what this would be like. But this is certainly, I think Nico Harrison signed his pink slip.
Saturday, oh yeah, count your days. He need to count. Yeah. He need to count his days. Yeah. Nico need to count his days. Salute my boy Johnny in the chat. Go James Kingdom in the building. Yeah, Johnny, you got to come on soon. When Jimmy Butler get traded, I definitely need your mindset on Tyler Hero making an All-Star game. So once after this trade deadline, we see where Jimmy go. We're going to have to get a Johnny to pull up again. Go shout out Go James Kingdom, by the way. Go check out his content. Great content, by the way. Yeah, Jimmy. Yeah, your boy Jimmy. He's going to get traded too. Yeah, we're going to talk about Jimmy too. But I was walking in the crib. I'm trying to think. I called you, right? Because when my phone was going up.
You called me. Yep, you called me.
I'm walking in the crib. I'm chilling. I'm happy because I just watched the Royal Rumble. My boy Jey Uso won the Royal Rumble. Yee, by the way. But so I'm happy. I'm like, yeah, Jey Uso won the Royal Rumble. I'm lit up. Yeah, come back in the house. Super lit. Super lit. And then my phone blew up. Shoot up my boy KC for In the Basement Podcast. Another great content right there, too. Salute them. I walk in the crib, literally, Sean, jacket off, shoes off. I'm finna chill. I'm like, you know what? I'm happy about the Royal Rumble. I might either go live on TikTok. Matter of fact, I'm finna probably chill, play the game, get to talk wrestling. Din-din-din, din-din-din. Luka Doncic got traded. Imagine, I knew something was wrong because I only got like one. I got like two different sports alerts. So I'm like, Luka Doncic got traded to the Lakers. I'm like, nah, that's fake. Everybody, I keep everybody talking about like Shams hacked. And even I had got an alert that said Shams was hacked. So it was like, okay, I was like, oh, Shams wasn't hacked. Then I go to Shams page. Shams say, oh no, this is 100% real. I am not hacked. I said, holy. I get the freaking out. I call Sean instantly. Sean, did you see this? Even Sean heard my girl in the background, like, why are you freaking out? What's going on? I'm like, bro, they just traded Luka. What? This not realistic. This not NBA 2K. Did they turn the trade difficulties off? Who owes somebody some money? That's all I said. Somebody had to owe somebody something. Or somebody got some business, some backdoor handshakes going on and everything. But I want to get into this more deeper though, Sean, because we got other news that came up, breaking news, because I feel like we're going to be talking about this Luka thing for a minute. I want everybody, make sure y'all guys like, make sure y'all share, make sure you guys subscribe. But the last thing I was just thinking though, Sean, was like, how can you trade a player from the caliber of Luka and do not shop him everywhere? That's suspicious. Because he can try to sell me the out of shape. Luka Gaines don't really depend on athletics. He want to complain about hurt, whatever. He be a spoiled brat, whatever. Y'all don't want to pay him that money. That's one. But two, at the end of the day, if you told a team, hey, I want Anthony Davis. If you want Luka, or find a way to get Luka, find a way to get Anthony Davis in that trade package. Because they called the Lakers, Sean. That's what blew my mind. They called the Lakers. Everybody tried to make a rule like, The Lakers took a couple days to figure it out. No, the Lakers heard that phone call. Rob Pelinka started partying because now his job's saved for the next 5 years. He just saved his job. That one move saved his job, Sean.
Well, presumably. So far. Presumably.
Hopefully. He's good for now. He'd have been on the hot seat next year for sure. But come on, bro. Everything you got to forgive him for. He pulled Luka Doncic out of the hat. Luka Magic. Oh, my God.
And so, you know, I know a lot of people, there's been a lot of talks, obviously, over the last 48 hours about, you know, what this means for the Lakers long term and things like that. I want to pump the brakes on folks just for a minute and just please remind people that Luka has to sign an extension.
I think Luka, he is now.
Well, remember now, he lost $100 million in this trade because he's no longer eligible for the Supermax. So it's possible he could say, and I'm not saying, it depends on what he and his team are talking about, and we'll talk about. It's possible he could say, no, I'm not going to sign the extension. I'm going to kick the can down the road on the extension and, you know, put myself in position to test the market in 2026.
And
so this is really, to be very honest, this is more closer to the Lakers getting Dwight Howard in 2012.
Yeah.
Because, again, they had a year to basically you know, kind of showed Dwight, hey, this is where you want to be. This is a great organization, blah, blah, blah. There were some other things that were going on, which we're not going to get into at the time. But, you know, there's a risk here, right?
No, it is.
Yeah, there's a risk. And so, you know, and again, if he decides, hey, I'm going to kick the can and I want to test the market in 2026 or put myself in position to test the market in 2026, this is basically the Lakers basically have a season and a half to show Luka why he wants to be there long term.
Yeah, there's some Luka teams, team now.
Yeah, there are some teams circling. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some teams circling in 2026 that are going to have max cap space to sign Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to, the Lakers basically have a year and a half to show they can build a roster around Luka that he likes and that he wants to, you know, that he wants to be there long term. Well,
Thunder, I'm going to have a lot to say about the LaVine thing. Keep watching. But we got to get through these other stuff. Even with, we posed a way for the Luka trade, but it was just like, I had to know Sean's reaction. But I'm going to tell you how I feel. I got a lot to say about this LaVine thing because it's good you got off the contract, but what I got in return is crazy. And Thunder, I'm going to have a lot to say about that. But Sean, before we get in, we're going to get back on this Luka situation in a second, because we got to knock out some other stuff. I thought with the NBA trade, football just always want to step on the NBA toes. I just think they always do, because it's NBA trade deadline week. I shouldn't be seeing no news about football unless we're talking about the Super Bowl, which we ain't going to talk about the Super Bowl on Monday. That's more of a Friday thing. Make sure y'all tune in Friday for the Super Bowl preview show, by the way, on that. We got some breaking news, Sean. So if you can trade Luka Doncic, then everybody must go. Nobody's safe. The Los Angeles Rams have just informed Cooper Kupp that they will be trading him this offseason. I'll drop a bomb on that. So now we just getting bold with it. Now the owners are saying, look, we're going now. At first, we might sneak and be secretive behind your back. But now we're going to tell you straight forward. Cooper Kupp, we're getting you up out of here. Sean, what's your reaction to this?
Not surprising. I thought they may at least try to work something out with him to, you know, restructure his contract. But I think they, you know, see the writing on the wall. They, you know, obviously want to, you know, move on. Puka Nacua has ascended as their number one receiver. They've shown kind of the ability to find receiving talent that's inexpensive, and they're going to have to work out Matthew Stafford's contract situation, because he's announced that he's coming back next season. So this is a way for them to, you know, free up money. So I'm not surprised at all. Whether or not there'll be a trade market for Cooper Kupp will be interesting. But also, is he going to need a new deal, or is the team going to have to rework his current deal to absorb him if they trade for him? So all those things will factor into whether or not he gets traded, or whether or not they just outright release him. I'm not sure if he's due a roster bonus or anything before March. But that, so, you know, because this is breaking news, I haven't had a chance to research that. But that said, it's pretty obvious that Cooper Kupp will not be on the LA Rams next season.
Shout out Tiffany in the chat. Everybody ain't going to the Ravens, Tiffany. Y'all ain't getting everybody. Everybody ain't going to the Ravens, Tiffany, at all. We ain't doing that. Everybody ain't going to the Ravens. But he could go to the LA Chargers. Look, you ain't got to sell your house. Just sell them to your LA. They need a receiver. We need that number one guy, because we got people over here with nubs over here in LA. So go ahead. Send my boy over here to LA. He don't even got to sell his house. He don't even got to go to a different arena. He can keep the same locker. We can just go take his locker and then just put it over there and just paint it light blue. We can just send him over here. But I'm not shocked, though. It looking like the Rams may be going for a rebuild. But then also, you already kind of found your replacement, and you already know the NFL. I tell everybody this all the time. NFL is a young man's game. I think like the NBA, I think around like 34-ish, you know, LeBron and KD kind of like changed it a little bit, especially LeBron with like 35. But usually on average, when you consider old in NBA is like 34, 35-ish, maybe 33, depending on your injury history. But in NFL, once you hit that 30, it looks different for you. They treat you like you a whole different – they treat you like you a senior citizen once you hit 30, especially if you're a running back. But So it's always out with the old, in with the new. Always go with the youth all the time. But then especially if you find that gem, like you said, Puka Nacua, you could let them go, especially if you, like, you always going for the cheaper price. And it's not like the Rams are a Super Bowl contending team. They are playoff. They are a playoff team because of their division, a playoff contending team because of their division. So I'm waiting to see where he go. But if I had to pick, if I had to name teams that need to be on the phone trying to get him, obviously the Chargers. I think the Commanders should be on deck to try to get him. I would say the Bengals because they might lose T. Higgins, but it's like, what's the point? You replace T. Higgins just for another guy, an older guy with a contract too. So only off top of the head, because this is breaking news. This literally just dropped like 5 minutes ago. Off top of my head, the two teams that I know need another receiver or a receiver is the Chargers and the Commanders. So I'd be running first. If I was Cooper Kupp, I'd be running to one of those teams. Next up, though, Sean, another football. Then we're going right back to the NBA trade deadline right after this. Cleveland Browns pass rusher star, which I knew this was coming at some point because Miles Garrett talent is being wasted. He gonna keep losing. They're not gonna do nothing different. Star pass rusher of the Cleveland Browns, Miles Garrett, has requested a trade. Are you shocked? And then what you think is the best football for him? We gotta reword about numbers because this is another breaking news trade. But what do you think would be the best fit for him? Where he could be a super, where he could contend for a Super Bowl because that's what he wants to do.
So I think two things. One, I'm not shocked at all. He kind of made it clear after the season. He had another dominant season. I think he had, 15 sacks this season, if I'm not mistaken. Another dominant season for arguably probably the best defensive player in the league. Yeah. For many. And when you look at the fact that he's, I think, either just turned 29 or about to turn 29, not a guy who's – he's always available, not – doesn't miss games with injuries, things like that. He's going to have great value out there. The Browns do not want to trade him. I think they reiterated today they do not want to trade him. But he did meet with – Andrew Berry in the front office after the season, because he wants to know what's the plan. And again, they're one of their big problems is they obviously have this mammoth, contract for Deshaun Watson that's, really keeping them from going out of the market and investing in the quarterback position. But also they got some other issues they need to clean up as well. So I don't think they're going to be in a rush to trade him. They basically told teams, don't even call because we're not interested in trading him. But that doesn't mean teams aren't going to call.
Yeah, we got to.
I think if you're a team in the AFC North, do not call the Browns. They're not trading him in the division.
He's going to the NFC.
And if he gets traded. They're not trading him in the conference. So there are three teams that come to mind immediately for me. First, obviously, is Washington. Yeah. They have a quarterback on a rookie deal. Mm-hmm. They have about $90 million roughly in cap space. Mm-hmm. This is the time that you make a move, for someone like Miles Garrett. Mm-hmm. The other team that comes to mind in the AFC or in the NFC, is Atlanta. Again, very similar situation, quarterback on a rookie deal. Their big issue is they got to figure out the Kirk Cousins situation in terms of that cap hit and how that's going to affect their cap this season. But Atlanta, they traded for Matthew Judon last offseason. He's a free agent, I believe. So no guarantee that he's going to come back. Obviously, Miles Garrett is an upgrade over Matthew Judon. We're not even going to play those games.
Yeah, we ain't going to argue that at all.
And they are in a division that's very winnable, that they could make the playoffs and then go on a run. If they, just improve in a couple of areas. But I'm going to throw a third team out there. And I know I said they wouldn't trade him in the conference. And this is only if they want to get Miles Garrett close to home. Miles Garrett's from Texas. The Houston Texans.
Nah, they ain't doing that.
I'm telling you, don't sleep. They, you know what they did last year?
They
went out and loaded up. They've got a guy. Obviously, they got Will Anderson. Will Anderson's not going anywhere, but they have Danielle Hunter. Could they potentially look at flipping Danielle Hunter and a couple picks for Myles Garrett? That's kind of a replacement for Myles Garrett for Cleveland. You know, again, Myles Garrett being from Texas, you know,
see it happen, though.
I think they don't want to trade him in the conference, but that's if they're not getting packages they want from an NFC team potentially, then obviously you're going to open it up to the AFC. So Houston would be kind of a sleeper there. Just again, if Myles Garrett says, "Hey, I want to go close, I want to be close to home, or I want to go home," being from Texas, you know, he went to Texas A&M. So, you know, obviously he's, you know, from that area.
They'd be throwing him a bone, but that means they're just doing that for him.
Exactly. So, and again, Myles Garrett has been, you know, a great player for them. His, you know, his jersey is going to be retired by the Cleveland Browns at some point. When he goes into Canton, eventually it'll be primarily as a Cleveland Brown. If they want to do right by him and get him close to home, I think Houston would be the other team to consider.
I want to lose my point, but I definitely got a question for you. It's a Deshaun Watson question too. Salute my boy FYF. I see the emoji. I don't know why it ain't showing up on screen, but salute my boy Lamont. With Myles Garrett, I'm not shocked because now he pretty much telling the Cleveland Browns, make this team a championship team, or I'm on out. I gotta go. I want to compete for a championship. My good years are being wasted. I done seen defensive players get their talent wasted. And I seen what a championship do for a player of my caliber, because we can all agree that Myles Garrett is on pace to be a Hall of Fame player, if not already a Hall of Fame player. But what will make that look even better when you got that jewelry and you winning, because winning matters at some point in time. Winning does matter. And we have seen a lot of guys waste away in Cleveland. No offense, Browns fans, if anybody watching is a Browns fan. So for me, if I had to pick a destination for Myles Garrett, once again, even though I know you said like the Texans, they'll be throwing him a bone by sending him to the Houston, Texas. But as we see how these NBA, how we see with these owners getting down, it's not going to happen like that. They're going to do what's best for the organization every time. And what's going to be best for the organization is not having to play Myles Garrett in the playoffs unless it's a Super Bowl, or not playing Myles Garrett twice a year. So he's not going into the division, and he's not going into the he's not going in our conference. So if I'm looking at it, honestly, if I had to pick off top of the head, one, I definitely have to agree with you on the Washington Commanders. One, they got a quarterback on the rookie deal, and they got enough money to go get Myles Garrett and make more moves after that. So that's like a hot destination right now. And with the addition of Myles Garrett, they will be competing even against the Eagles to win this division. The next team I'll go on the list, and I don't know exactly how much their cap situation look like, but with everybody that just lost on their coaching staff, this will be a big move. And you wanted to add somebody else, and they was already in a mix and tried to make calls to get Myles Garrett, the Detroit Lions. I think when you had a guy like Myles Garrett on your defense, then that could probably take – I ain't going to lie, that's going to be devious. If Myles Garrett and Aiden Hutchinson on both sides, that's devious work. I'm just telling you, because that would be a quarterback's nightmare if that was to be able to happen. And that would probably guarantee a lot the Detroit Lions, besides injuries, the Super Bowl appearance with that team. Now you got to make whatever moves you got to make, or reconstruct whatever contract you got to reconstruct. To make that happen, you go make that happen. And my third team, Sean, that I think should do it, and I think they still got a little money to do it, and I trade draft capital right now to do it, the Chicago Bears. I think the Chicago Bears should do it. And if you can do it with the old boy that you don't like, but obviously as a defensive coordinator, he's a master. He's a beast. I think the Chicago Bears would be a great addition for him. Because I wanted to say the Minnesota Vikings, but my only problem with Minnesota is Sam Darnold is up, so you're going to have to pay Sam Darnold. And as I said, he ain't going to take no pay cut. Because my other team I honestly would have said the Vikings, but I knew with the Sam Darnold situation going on, that's why I didn't say them.
So the reason why I didn't say the Bears, I think the Bears are a big question mark whether or not they're a true Super Bowl. How quickly they could be a Super Bowl contender. You know, you got a brand new coach. You got, you know, obviously, you know, some things they need to figure out, you know, obviously with Caleb Williams and that offense, and just that division, you know, if the idea is get to a team that's got a chance to go on a run quickly and close, that's why I didn't choose the Bears. Again, yeah. I just think the Packers and the Lions are still ahead of the Bears, and obviously the Vikings, yeah. you know, are obviously this season ahead of the Bears. So, yeah.
Yeah, but that's, if Sam Darnold was under contract and, like, I knew exactly what his number hit would have been, like, been at, where I know it's not going to be as high, I would have probably said the Vikings. I think Vikings, Minnesota, especially how good they just played this year, even though they choked in the playoffs, but how good they played this year, you got to give them a nod. But also, Scott, I didn't want to lose my point, because a part of the reason why Myles Garrett want to leave, because they want to make pieces. He wanted his team to be a championship team and get the pieces for it. Well, one of the pieces they thought would have helped them would have been Deshaun Watson. But with the injuries and how bad he has played, and he was one of the guys with, like, a fully guaranteed contract, is it time to say that Deshaun Watson I think he got traded there, right?
Yeah, it was a trade.
Okay. So is it time to say that Deshaun Watson trade and contract was a bad idea? Was it a bad move and a worse contract in football?
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at the last 3 years, yeah, it was not a good move. Yeah. You understood why they did it at the time, but
It made a lot of sense. I don't blame you.
But it's not nearly worked out the way they thought. So yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree. It hurts me to say it, because Deshaun Watson, but it's just like it's different when you see it live from a player who was just like here and then an injury or an incident, and it just kill your whole momentum, man, and you can't return the same, because people don't understand that last run with Deshaun here with Houston that last year, but he was sensational. Like, legitly, people were saying, like, he might be the best passer in the league. Like, he was dotting, was crazy. Now, we got to go back to the NBA trade deadline now. We knocked out the breaking news. We got to go back to the NBA trade deadline. From a scale of 1 to 10, Sean, so far, how shocking has been the NBA trade deadline been so far?
48.
I thought she was gonna be funny and say 77. No. But why I know, I mean I know why, but I want to hear your explanation.
Well, I mean, again, you know, 3 days ago, nobody, if someone said, oh, Luka could be getting traded, you'd have thought they were smoking something. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously, you know, with Luka being traded, I think it's a bit of a wake-up call to you know, guys around the league who don't have no trade clauses.
Acting like brats, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if you acting like a brat, I mean, you know, that's the way most guys get their way, is to act out in the NBA, unfortunately. But, you know, it's just a reminder that, listen, you know, nobody's indispensable.
Yeah.
Anybody can be traded. You know, and so I think it's a little bit of a wake-up call, but I also think, if you were Dallas, and I'll just say this real quick about Dallas, the Mavericks, the organization, this is a bad look on many fronts. And one of the biggest fronts, I think, SB, is that you didn't have the decency to talk with Luka and his representatives about the potential that you guys were thinking about moving him.
You called to trade him, so you couldn't tell this man this? The franchise. Ain't nobody lining up to go sign and play for Dallas. Hope y'all know that.
Right. I mean, that's been a big issue in Dallas for years, is that they would have cap space and availability and guys would not go there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they remember they had the DeAndre Jordan thing, and then that, you know.
That was a whole different thing. They locked him in a room. They made him not go to Dallas.
You know, so I mean, and you know, but I just think it's just a terrible look. And what are you telling guys about your organization who become available, who are going to say, well, man, look how y'all did Luka, you know? So, and that's Luka, you know? So
your superstar phenom.
Yeah. These guys are paying attention and they make decisions based on how you treat your players, particularly your star players. So, you know, I think there's gotta be, the way it was handled. And even listening to Nico Harrison yesterday you know, the press conference, the pregame press conference. And if you look, saw the look on Jason Kidd's face, I mean, he's trying to, you know, stay professional.
He wanted to choke him
and walk the company line, but it was definitely
What took my scale to, like you said, like a 77, right? Bad enough you trade Luka and don't tell him. How you don't tell the coach who got to coach the team? He making his game plan. Oh yeah, Luka finna be back after the trade deadline. We finna run our sets, get this together. And then he just wake up, his star player just gone. But then if Jason Kidd and the Mavericks don't perform, they're going to tell me blame Jason Kidd, put Jason Kidd on the hot seat. Come on now. How you don't tell your coach that you trade his star player or get an input on it? Because, you know, Jason Kidd would have told me you out your mind.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, you putting a lot of jobs on the line making this move. And, you know, and I say this jokingly, but, you know, if I were Nico Harrison, I probably would not start my car for a good month in the city of Dallas. Like,
they are furious.
They are angry. You know,
and did you see that? Like the people outside the stadium going crazy.
Yes.
Bro, they was, wait, I think.
Yes. The reality of it is, SB, is somebody, Luka was not just the face of the Mavericks. He was the face of Dallas sports.
Yes. Bro, everybody was like, they dealt with the Cowboys being trash and didn't care because they said, well, at least we got Luka. Luka just took you. Bro, he just took them to the finals. And they traded him like it was nothing. Didn't even consider it. Because he didn't want to get in shape. How is Zion still on the team? And y'all talking about shape.
Well, first of all, round is still a shape. So let's get that out of the way right now. Secondly, what in within your organization could not connect with Dallas or connect with Luka to say, hey, listen, you have got to take your personal health and your physical health more seriously. You know, because again, you know, that if that was a big part of the issue, which you can understand it, and they're saying, hey, listen, we're not sure if we can commit this amount of money to him if he's not going to take this seriously and he's going to miss games because he's not in shape. You can understand it from that point. That said, it was very clear you had your mind on one or two guys to get, because if the reports are true, and again, now he's not been confirmed, they called Milwaukee about Giannis. Milwaukee said no. And then obviously Anthony Davis. So you have this great asset and you don't even say, let's see what kind of packages we can get for this great asset. Because I know there are several teams, 28 other teams would have been like, hey, listen, we're going to put in an offer for Luka. We don't know if we're going to get him, but we're going to put in an offer.
I think they could have found the way to get AD. And probably got two picks. Still the way around it. If you would have got a third team involved.
Yeah, well, apparently, so there was some talk that apparently when they initially talked about packages, the initial packages was around AD, Dalton Kennett, and multiple first-round picks. But it would only have been the 29 and the 31, because I think that's all the Lakers had available to trade in terms of picks.
That's now, better than what they got?
Well, yes. Now, there's some talk that apparently, and this is apparently, allegedly, that and over the course of the weeks of talking, that Rob Pelinka basically said, hey, you know, us taking Luka's a risk. And, you know, so we need to, you know, consider what we're sending out if we're taking on this risk. And Nico Harrison fell for the banana in the tailpipe and did not get that 31 first round pick from the Lakers.
Rob Pelinka finessed.
You know, so, you know, which seems weird to say, but. So I think, you know, again, these conversations go on, you know, back and forth. There's generally a lot of back and forth, you know, and obviously these two GMs are talking. But ultimately, again, as I said Saturday when we went live, and I'll say again, ownership has to sign off on this. They have to give you the green light to do this.
Yes,
and, 70 million. Yes. And so, you know, it was incredibly, incredibly odd how it happened. The fact that it didn't get out, but it also says that, for me anyway, that Dallas had no interest in talking to any other teams outside of the Lakers because the target was Anthony Davis.
Bro, I would have called the Heat for Bam. At least you go get a young person or something. But he said the Thunder, the trade in general is suspect. Oh, 100%. 100%. It's something that's going on behind the scenes, too. But that's a different story for a different day. We're going to get back on the Luka trade because a lot more stuff did happen. Something else that broke into the news, too. Let's go to Mr. Steph Curry, and the Golden State Warriors. A report has just came out that the Golden State Warriors are determined to pair another superstar next to Steph Curry ahead of the February 6th trade deadline. Well, they better hurry up because they're going to run out of time. The names that are involved that they have been called, Sean, the Warriors have inquired about LeBron James, Kevin Durant. Also, they try to get LeBron James and Kevin Durant together. But LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Paul George, and Jimmy Butler, and among other superstars. Out of all the names available, and I know we're going to talk about Jimmy Butler in a second, too, because Jimmy Butler made a statement. Out of all the names that you see right here available, who is the most realistic to get?
I'm going to say Kevin Durant. Okay. I'm going to say KD. If Phoenix is open to taking offers on KD.
Which they did, came out today. They said they're taking calls.
So I'm going to say Kevin Durant. Obviously, we know he has a relationship with that organization, his relationship with Steph, Draymond, but we know neither one of those guys would be a part of the deal.
Imagine so I'm going to go back to the Warriors. Be crazy.
It would be crazy, but I mean, again, you know, right now, again, I'm not even going to use the term crazy anymore. Luka got traded, so nothing's crazy at this point.
What KG say? Anything's possible.
Yeah, nothing's crazy. So yeah, so I would say maybe Kevin Durant of this list. Jimmy Butler's indicated that he would not sign an extension with Golden State. Mm-hmm. I'm done with him. It's not even funny. But yeah,
you gotta do what he gotta do, man. For the play, yeah. He gotta do what he gotta do. Jimmy Butler did inform them, though, that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Now, Paul George would be interesting. I don't know if Philly would want to move Paul George yet. I think that would be something they may want to consider in the offseason. But, you know, but I would say Paul George would probably be second in that. But go ahead.
Okay. But you did bring up the point that Jimmy Butler has been informed that to go to State Warriors that he will not sign an extension. I made this a whole separate segment because I knew you were sad of Jimmy Butler. So this segment right here is all you, bro. I want to hear your pain and suffering. You're like, yeah, face don't want to see it. But okay, I'm gonna ex Jimmy Butler out just because of that. I say realistically speaking, who they could possibly really, really get. I think it's Paul George. Paul George would probably be the easiest to get. Now, I don't know, since he signed, is he'll be available at this trade line to be able to be traded. But I think probably LeBron James with no trade clause, he already keeps telling everybody he's not going to, no matter how much y'all try to force LeBron about it, he ain't going nowhere. He got business in LA. Savannah don't want to leave. He ain't going nowhere. Savannah bust him in the head with a rock if he end up going somewhere else. Jimmy Butler already said he won't sign the extension. So that's making it hard to move him. So even if you do trade for him, he's gonna end up leaving. So that he's just making it hard for the Heat to get the true value for him. That's pretty much is all he really doing. So he trade me where I want to go, or I can guarantee you won't get the true value you're gonna get from me. That's what he's on with the Miami Heat. I'm calling the Phoenix Suns bluff. I don't think they got Kevin Durant on the trade market. They just obviously when you get shell shocked with that Luka Doncic got traded, it does throw a monkey wrench and everything that's going on, but I don't think the Phoenix Suns are really trading Kevin Durant unless they just get a crazy type haul for Kevin Durant, and you're not going to get that from the Golden State Warriors. So Kevin Durant's not going nowhere. So by process of elimination, I think Paul George is probably the most realistic and the most easiest person to get with Philadelphia having a down year right now. So I think that Paul George would be my answer if I had to pick. But yeah, Steph Curry and Thunder brought up the point that Steph Curry had one of his worst seasons. Yeah, the Warriors going to have to do something. Something
has to change. And I just want to slightly push back on something you said. The Warriors have assets, right? They have asset.
To get KD, who?
Well, Kuminga would be very intriguing to Phoenix. One, man, they have picks. They have, you know, again,
Andrew Wiggins.
I'm just saying, Andrew Wiggins obviously would be a part of that deal. He's on a very reasonable contract, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, they have some pieces. Again, whether or not, you know, KD would be interested in a reunion, and if he said, I don't know. I mean, again, you know, he does still have a great relationship with Steph, you know, and Steve Kerr. So
not Draymond. You know,
well, I mean, they've mended fences. I mean, you know, again, I think they've mended fences. They've been on each other's podcast and, you know, talk. And, you know, so, again, I think it'd be one of those things that they would consider. They are pushing very hard to get an all-star. They've made it very clear. They want to get an all-star by the trade deadline. And so if Phoenix is pivoting away from, hey, this Jimmy Butler thing and saying, hey, we're going to be sellers instead of buyers, you know, then, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah.
I think they got a good point right here. He said, Paul George seemed like the most realistic. But after this Luka Doncic trade, I'm not going to hold you. Anything's possible.
Yeah.
Draymond Green is a crash out 100%. Sean, but back to this point. Miami Heat star. Jimmy Butler has informed Golden State that he will not sign the extension if he's dealt to the Bay Area. Is this more of a plan to sabotage y'all, or he's just trying to force his way where he want to go?
I think he's trying to force his way to Phoenix. Mm. That's where he wants to go. That's where he wants to be. He just doesn't have a lot of leverage right now, except for wherever he goes, he'll just tell him he'll opt out. But again, this coming offseason, only one team has max cap space at present, and that's Brooklyn.
And Brooklyn ain't spending that money.
They're not signing Jimmy Butler in the offseason. So, you know, his leverage is limited, save for the fact that he could opt out. I don't think he's opting out of that $52 million player option. I don't see him doing that. It's $52 million. He's not opting out of that. So
he'd be a fool to do that.
You know, but again, I think right now everybody's just kind of waiting to see how this is going to end. Phoenix apparently is working on like 4 and 5 team deals to still try to get Jimmy Butler. But of course, it's going to require Bradley Beal to waive his no trade clause. And at present, he still does not appear interested in doing that. Nope. So
people got to realize people ain't finna just be upping and moving. Like, bro, I got my family here. We done established. The best thing Bradley Beal could have done, even with Phoenix, even though I do believe that a lot of players should not be getting no trade clause, but the best thing that Bradley Beal did was get that no trade clause when he was the man in Washington.
Yeah, he was eligible for it. He knew that was going to be his leverage, and so you're not mad with him, you know, for doing that. So yeah.
Okay, Sean. Back to this again, because I know we done talked about it too many times this episode, but it's just because it's that devastating. But it's a lot of things that went on with this Luka trade, right? So, one, you trade him. And we're going to talk about Luka dad, because it something happened even with Danny Ainge. And then Kevin Durant even said some of the most realest things I could ever – he done said in a while. Because of this Luka trade. So, you get a GM. First of all, the Mavs fans are hilarious. They put a casket out front of the stadium, by the way. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes.
Yeah, blue casket. So Luka Doncic gets traded to the Lakers for Anthony Davis. The Mavericks. This is all I want to know. Like, overweight, injury prone. This man just led y'all to the finals. He's 25 years old. You telling me injuries is a part of the problem? Why would you trade for Anthony Davis? And he is injury prone. You do not get a franchise guy at this age. What Luka has accomplished, Luka Doncic. People gotta realize this. Luka Doncic is already a Hall of Famer. Yes, a Hall of Fame basketball player before he even touched the NBA court. Go look at his EuroLeague resume. This man has been a pro since he's been a kid. MVPs, championship, all that. This kid has been a Hall of Fame player before he even touched the NBA basketball court. Now, with the years he just put in the NBA right here so far, he's a 100% lock for a Hall of Fame player. You are Dallas. You have not signed one elite player ever to this level. How do you trade him for nothing? And then how do you not call everybody? And then Nico, you going to come to the press conference and give him that BS press conference to try to explain why you trade him. And then you say out your mouth that nobody knew, and you got a coach. You got a coach that don't know that you're trading his player. You know what that is?
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Common sense. That is stupid. I had to find that button again, Sean, because this, when I seen this and when I see him explain this, that people are trying to justify this. You don't trade no 25-year-old phenom superstar out of shape or not, or if you don't want to invest in him, for no aging superstar with injury problems. I get the going for Giannis. I get to see now if it was a Giannis, I'd be like, oh, okay, fair, shake your shape. Like, you ain't getting no SGA, no Luka, or getting a bunch of young talent. You said you want defense and you want guys who can carry. You could have called the Rockets, got a stack a bunch of defensive players. You could call OKC, get a stack a bunch of players. You could have called anybody, Knicks, anybody else, or even just make a bidding war for you to not even give it a bidding war or a chance or anybody else to even add. Hey, look, I need AD and two picks. Make it happen. Bleep. Go to LA. Talk to LA. Get LA to make something happen with me. So now I'm gonna get AD and a bunch of more picks and probably another role player because Nico's so bad at his job. Because I almost said something else that Matthew probably want me to call him. He's so bad at his job. He didn't even get enough assets to add to what he just did. He got one Lakers pick and Max Christie. So you better hope you trade. So if you trade this pick, this is it, like Michael Jackson. You got nobody else. It's going to be Kyrie, AD, no other star, and Clay, and the rest of the role players. But you got to get somebody else to add to this team, Sean. And then also, how Kyrie Irving is better at the off-guard position. Yes, he can play make, but I feel like you take away from Kyrie Irving game because you won't always Kyrie Irving in attack mode. And if Kyrie Irving can't consistently make those passes that Luka was making, you're not finna get a guy who can make passes like that, like Luka doing, then drop 30. Like, you're not getting that no more. And you said you got a 10-year window. Who you lying to? And this is a 3-year window, and Kyrie Irving might leave. So now you're going to be stuck with Anthony Davis and nobody else. So pretty much you rebuild. Come on, Sean. This is stupid. He didn't use no common sense in this matter, bro. It was no common sense in this matter.
No, I mean, again, I think it goes back to let me preface this by saying, if I were the GM of the Mavericks, I would not trade Luka Doncic at 25 years old.
No way.
But if I found myself in a position where I said, hey, we got to make a decision and we just don't think we are ready to commit that type of long-term contract to Luka this summer, you got to open up the market and you got to say, hey, listen, you know, we're interested in hearing the offers for Luka. Please send us your best offer. And you make a decision based on that. Again, but it seemed like listening to Nico Harrison yesterday talk about what they were trying to do, they had targeted Anthony Davis. They wanted Anthony Davis. And again, I heard a report today, and I want to say it was Brian Windhorst from ESPN. He said Nico Harrison's had his eye on Anthony Davis for the last 2 years, really since he became, you know, the GM of the Mavs, or not long after he became the GM of the Mavs. So this tells me that, again, I think there was always some intent to try to go after Anthony Davis, but you don't get rid of Luka. You add talent around
Luka. Add talent to Luka, yep.
You know, as much as you possibly can. And so my big concern and my big thing, you know, is, yeah, I know people are trying to sell it on, hey, this makes Dallas a team to reckon with, you know, come, you know, May and June. That remains to be seen.
They got to get there.
Got to get there. But I thought there were five teams I looked at and I said, these teams have way better packages potentially that they could have sent for Luka. OKC.
Five teams.
OKC, San Antonio, Houston. Who was the other team I looked at? It was those three. Those three were probably the biggest. It was one more. Yeah, so OKC, Houston, San Antonio.
Wasn't the Kings. I know you probably want to say the Kings.
Or... No, it wasn't the Kings. No, it wasn't the Kings. I'm sorry. I'm having a brain fart. But, yeah.
No, it's good. It's good.
Those three were the three that I knew. I said, you know, and again, they could offer a pretty massive package, massive packages in terms of players and picks for Luka without giving up their best player. So they would have been able to keep Shea, obviously been able to keep Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio. And you
was
know,
Detroit on that list too? Because I know Detroit got a lot of – was Detroit on that list?
No, Detroit wasn't on that list. No, it wasn't Detroit. Man, I'm sorry. It's, again, having a brain fart.
That's all good. But one thing I didn't like too, though, that they did, though, is like, you know, I'm a rock with my boy from Chicago. I feel like they put AD in a bad line of fire because – do you know what's going to happen? If AD, knock on wood, I hope AD finishes the season 100% healthy and ball out. If AD at some point in time during this run of this season lays on the ground and hold his ankles, do you know the massive boo they're going to hear and they're going to be – it's going to be crazy if AD gets hurt or if they don't finish the season how they should. It's going to be devastating. Like you said, Nico Collins, but not – I don't wish this on nobody. But I'm telling you, brother, don't start that car after that game. Do not do it. Do not do it. It's going to be real devious time. It will be. But it was another team part of this trade, right? And the second part of the trade was the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz pretty much just got Hood Scafino. I think it's just like J Hood is Casino.
Yeah, Scafino. Yeah, Shafino. Yep.
Shafino, Casino. I know, but I ain't going to call, bro. Nobody made it to leave, but who cares? And 2 second rounds picked. But Mr. Fleece God, Danny Ainge, got fleece for one, Sean, and I'm shocked to hear it. Utah Jazz president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge, was unaware that both Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis were a part of the multi-team trade. How are you making trades, Danny Ainge? You don't know who in the trade. See, Lewis Shaw, you know what happened? He got too cocky. He got too eager that he fleeced so many people so much that he just like, okay, whatever. You know, I just take the trade, whatever. It don't matter. Who to get? Oh, Scafino and 2 second round picks. Ain't nobody big in this trade. Okay, cool. And then just let it go. And then woke up like, hey, you know you helped Luka go to the Lakers, right? I did what? I let Luka go to the Lakers. Yeah, you probably crashed out. What was your reaction to Danny Ainge actually being on the opposite side of being fleeced for once?
Very surprising. That's generally not Danny Ainge. He's usually kind of the one on the other side, you know, as you mentioned, doing the fleecing. And the fact that, again, he's helping the Lakers, you know, was, you know, crazy.
He got to lose his Celtic card for that one.
Well, remember now, he was the one that took Westbrook from the Lakers, but he had to get that 27 first round pick. To do it, you know, so that 27 first round pick was going to have great value to him and still could, because again, depends on what happens with Luka in terms of whether or not Luka signs an extension with the Lakers. But, you know, he did not know he was helping the Lakers. And again, you know, it's very surprising he got fleeced.
That pick value before this trade happened. Danny Ainge is like, oh, yeah, we finna be in the top 10, top 5. I don't know if it's protected or not, but I'm finna get a good pick because 2027, I think LeBron will probably retire next year. It's just going to be AD and nobody else. But now it's Luke, because Luke can show he can get a team to the playoffs by himself, no matter who on his team. He gets you to the playoffs. That pick ain't hitting the same right now. That pick ain't hitting the same. Uh-oh. Said the Lakers will look great offensively, but I don't know about defense. They're not done yet. Their team not put together yet. They're going to still put their team together. Even the Mavericks are going to try to put their team together too. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. But, Sean, now the next part, because I told you, it's been a whole little sequence of going on with this. Luka dad has blasted the Mavs for the hypocrisy and the secrecy about this trade that went down. Luka's dad is furious. and a lot of things that play a part in it, because it also came out with two things that Luka Doncic was crushed to find out he was traded from the Dallas Mavericks. It's rare, once again, with Dallas, it's rare to see players who want to stay in Dallas. You had a guy who wanted to stay in Dallas, wanted to finish his career in Dallas. If you see his farewell letter, they said Luka was crushed. He was crying and everything that he left. But also, you know, Luka just had a kid not too long ago. Luka just bought a $15 million mansion. So you've been shopping this man, knowing this man just bought a house that had a kid. You see Luka, you're kissing babies, but the whole time you're behind his back trading him. And as much work as he put in for this franchise, you didn't even have the decency to tell this man, hey, we trading you. What is your reaction to Luka's dad? But I think Luka's dad had an exact quote. Let me see. Where did it go? Luka's dad was surprised by his son's trade by the Los Angeles Lakers. So visit his frustration. He said while he understood that players often change teams, he was unhappy with the secrecy in the trade, which was conducted. He also used the word hypocrisy to describe how he believes the Dallas Mavericks treated the player who helped them reach the NBA Finals last year for the first time since 2011. He was quoted saying, I understand there comes a moment when you disagree with a certain philosophy, Sasha Doncic said, as translated by Arena Sports. He also quoted was saying, you don't like this or that player, all good, I get it. But I think that's exactly this secrecy, or should I say from some individual, maybe even hypocrisy. This hurts me personally, but I think that Luka absolutely doesn't deserve this.
What's your reaction? I mean, it's his father. Obviously, his father was a professional player in Europe. He understands the business aspect of this. I think, though, when you're at Luka's level and at Luka's acclaim in that organization and in Dallas, you understand his feeling. Again, generally, if you're an organization, again, and as we talked about earlier, I don't want to be overly repetitive. If you wanted to say, hey, listen, I think we need to go our separate ways, we're going to shop you. I don't think Luka would have loved it, and I don't think his team would have loved it, but at least you gave them the heads up to say, hey, we're doing this. And normally that's how it works, particularly with a guy at his level. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there were a lot of mishandlings here by Nico Harrison, from my opinion, in my opinion. But Nico Harrison doesn't work for Luka. He works for the Dallas Mavericks. And someone empowered Nico Harrison to do what he thought was in the best interest of the Dallas Mavericks. And I put parentheses on what
he thought.
Because I don't know if anybody else thought this.
You see Jason Kidd in that press interview. Yeah, you know, Jason Kidd didn't think none of this.
Probably not. But again, you know, it's not that the team has the right to do what it is they feel in the best interest of the team to do, right? But it's how you handle it. It's how you handle it. And so there's a big, you know, part of me that says they completely and utterly mishandled this, not just in terms of what they got in return, but how they handled the process of going through this trade. Because, again, this didn't happen in 2 minutes. This was a 3 or 4 week process for them. So in that time, you could have had some conversations with Luka and his team and his reps to say, hey, we're thinking about moving you. We're listening to offers for you, you know? And so, again, I just think there was just a massive mishandling from Nico Harrison on this side.
Yeah, it was definitely a massive mishandling, but it also was exposing the double standards that we have when it comes to players getting traded. Because when a player asks for a trade, or a player goes away a free agency, best his career, we actually crucified him. And one guy who was always getting crucified, especially because he made a trade to decide to go to the Golden State Warriors when he left OKC Thunder, was Kevin Durant. Once finding out about the Luka Doncic trades, Kevin Durant calls out the loyalty double standard after the Luka Doncic trades. Kevin Durant was quoted saying, where is this quote? Boom, here you go, right here. Insane, said Durant, who learned about the trade in the middle of the Suns game, the loss to Portland. It's crazy. Never thought Luka Doncic would be traded at this age mid-season. The NBA is a wild place, man. If he could get traded, then anybody is up for grabs. He said, it's always transactional. Players are held to a different level of loyalty and commitment to a program, but the organization do not get held to that same standard from the outside world, whether it's from the media, members, or fans. We all should be held to the same standard. It's transactional game. It's a lot of money involved, a lot of business involved. We shouldn't be shocked about trades or guys moving to different teams or coaches moving to a different team. It's just the nature of playing basketball and us making this much money. It's pretty wild times in the NBA. Kevin Durant was cooking on that point. Kevin Durant was cooking on that point. The one point right when he said, players are held to a different level of loyalty and commitment to a program, but the organization don't get held to the same standards from the outside world, whether from media members or fans. Facts, Sean, facts. Kevin Durant cooked. I just see so many players get crucified and so many organizations get praised for trading people or getting players to a certain situation in the middle of the championship team. But if I go somewhere as a player, they go crucify me. That's facts. Well, what's your reaction to Kevin Durant's statement? Kevin Durant cooked, in my opinion.
It was a good message.
For once, I'm proud of you, KD. I'm proud of you, KD, for once.
Maybe not the best messenger, but it was a good message. Let me say this really quickly. The loyalty in sports has always been a farce. It's always been a farce. I don't think there's loyalty in sports. Now, I think there's professionalism in sports that has to exist from both sides.
Yep.
Players have to be professional if you're being played to be a professional. Organizations have to be professional as a professional organization. That's where I think the lines get blurry at times. Mm-hmm. It's as much as we want to say it's a partnership, it's not.
It's a business.
It's a business. And these players work for said business. And you work at the discretion of said business.
Yes,
if said business decides they want to move on, that's their prerogative. How they handle wanting you to move on and wanting to move on from you is a bigger issue, I believe.
Yes,
two things to consider. Number one, and again, I tell you all the time, When it comes to these teams behind me, I root for the laundry first.
Mm.
I root for the laundry first.
Who's
wearing it is inconsequential. I may not like a player who wears the laundry, but I'm rooting for the laundry first.
Okay, that went on my head a little bit. I ain't gonna hold. That was a good one. But I caught it. I got it now. But it went on my head a little bit. But I got it now. Though. That was a good one.
Yes. So. That's the way it is. You're a Bulls fan. Regardless of who has on a Bulls jersey, you will be a Bulls fan.
Unfortunately.
Right. Difficult as that may be. So I think the central point is my loyalties and my ability to root for that team lies in the laundry, not in who's wearing it. Mm-hmm. I don't always agree with who's wearing it. I don't always agree with the decision makers. Mm-hmm. And I have a right as a fan to say, you know what? I'm putting that down. Doesn't happen. It only happened once in my life, which we're not going to get into. But generally speaking, I root for the laundry. I will say, just to be very clear, loyalty in sports does not exist, but professionalism, showing up, doing your job, being respectful in that job from both sides should exist. And that's the part that I think is missing. Luka, from my perspective, got disrespected by the way the Mavs handled trading him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to come back to bite them.
I never thought Luka would get traded before Trae Young. Remember that? You always compare their trade.
Well, this is his third time being traded. His second time being traded, excuse me, because he got traded on draft night.
Technically, yeah. But remember, Trae Young been on the trade. Like, he's still locked in. That's crazy. Shout out Trae, by the way.
You know, so.
Should have been an all-star.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I think, again, it comes back down to this is an indictment on the media. I don't play favorites. I don't play, I like this guy and I don't like this guy. No, we just try to tell you what it is and what we believe it is and our perspective on that. But again, the Mavs mishandled this situation badly. And they did Luka wrong by not at least bringing him and his people in a room and saying, hey, we're having conversations with other teams about you that are interested in you.
That's it. Or, hey, we want Anthony Davis. We finna trade you to L.A. Simple.
But even before you do that, just say, hey, listen, we're having conversations about you, right? Mm-hmm. Just so you get a heads up. So, you know, the fact that it didn't get out was, I think, part because they didn't tell anybody outside of Nico and Rob Lowe, a.k.a. Rob Pelinka, talking. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day,
or you could have called him when a trade was like done, but before it got announced. Hey, as soon as okay, we agree. Click. We finna announce it at. We finna announce it at. It was like what 10 o'clock. We finna announce it at 10 o'clock. They probably agreed at like 9:30-ish.
Well,
you should have called him right after y'all said agree.
When again, I don't know if they didn't do that. I'm pretty sure they did that part. I'm talking about the process. Normally, players know. They have a sense from their reps. At least, hey, you're in some trade talks. Nothing's guaranteed, but just know you're in some trade talks. Mm-hmm. You know, so they know that. He did not know that.
Nope.
And from what I gather, his representatives didn't know that. That's why it was such a shock to him and to everyone else.
Yeah. Luka ain't finna buy no mansion. He finna get traded out. You could, like, one thing I did, like, you can bring up all the antics. You know, people try to say to themselves, When you know a trade was bad, it was something that you shouldn't have been done. When people ask the reporter, Shams, was he hacked because it's so unbelievable? And then the first thing you do, instead of talking about the new players you got, you were too busy defending why you traded him. Y'all made every excuse in the world talking about he fat, he ballooned, he was too naggy. He was too naggy to the refs. Whatever he had, I don't want to hear all that. This is an international superstar that you cannot replace. You're not getting Luka Doncic is not walking out. This is a generational talent. It's just not walking back up to your organization. At the end of the day, you knew you shouldn't have did this, or at least if you're going to do it, get enough for him. And I don't like that people like was trying to say when I say that, or somebody said like, oh, y'all acting like Anthony Davis is a slouch. Nobody said Anthony Davis was a slouch. The problem is, this ain't 6 years ago. If this happened 6 years ago where Anthony Davis was, what, 25, 26, nobody probably wouldn't bat an eye because it's Anthony Davis young. Anthony Davis is 30 plus. And then he add the emphasis of Luka's weight, but the point of bringing up Luka weight is you're worried about injuries. And Anthony Davis has been known to have injuries. He's an injury-prone player. So it's like you're pretty much polishing poo and trying to tell me it's a filet mignon steak. You spit in my face and telling me it's raining. Who you think we're stupid? You're not making stuff now. You can just say you favor when you like the guy, but no, don't lie. Just keep it a bean. Y'all try. Hey, look, we ain't rocking with Luka. We want AD. AD got us better. He could have kept it as simple as that. Simple as that. All that he ballooned, the weight, injuries. That's all just trying to you trying to douse a fire that you made. That's it. Now, Sean, we got to go to more trade. Unless you got one more thing to say on a Luka thing, or you could. Another trade did happen, and it ain't getting as much as attention because Fox kind of said he wanted to be a trade. Well, Fox didn't say he wanted to be traded. It's kind of been like brewing that
it's been talked about.
Been talked about. Kind of, and then because he didn't sign the extension, and they I guarantee, hey, Fox, What's going on? What you want to do? We want to give you this extension. We want to keep you. I ain't ready to sign it right now. I get more money later. Well, we got to do what we got to do. That's a good way to handle a trade thing. So we go to did I close the link? Give me 1 second. I want to get the trade up exactly. De'Aaron Fox was traded to the San Antonio Spurs. Wow, the San Antonio Spurs getting a superstar is crazy. You know, they usually just get somebody through the draft. Shout out San Antonio. We changing up in the world right now, Sean.
They've done that. They did it with LaMarcus Aldridge, and you know, they've got some guys in
recent. He passed his prime though. Back. Well, I guess LaMarcus Aldridge at his peak was kind of on that level.
He was still prime at that time.
He probably was at the level of like what De'Aaron Fox is right now. You know, if you want to argue De'Aaron Fox is a little better, but LaMarcus Aldridge was that deal. If anybody in comments try to say LaMarcus Aldridge ain't the deal, you lying. LaMarcus Aldridge used to get busy when he's at his peak. But the trade goes as follows. This is the three-team trade. The Spurs is to get De'Aaron Fox and Jordan McLaughlin. The Sacramento Kings will get Zach LaVine and Sid Cisco. The 2025 first-round pick for the Hornets, 2027 first-round pick from the Spurs, 2031 first round pick for the Minnesota Timberwolves. By the way, how did they get more picks with De'Aaron Fox than Luka Doncic? But that's a different story. The 2025 Bulls second round pick, the 2028 second round pick for Denver, and the 2028 second round pick for the Kings. They get their own second round pick back. The Chicago Bulls join to make this trade happen. They send Zach LaVine there. The Bulls get Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter, and the 2021st first round pick. Before I get to the Bulls part of the thing, because I know you probably ain't got too much to say about it. You don't care about the Bulls anyway. But if you do, I would love to hear it. What's your reaction to the Spurs securing De'Aaron Fox?
I mean, it's a great trade for them. Even better that they didn't have to give up Stephon Castle or Devin Vassell or Jeremy Sochan and really much of their young talent, which tells me they are in position to make another move if they want to.
Yes.
Could they be trying to put together another, you know, potential big three in San Antonio? That remains to be seen.
You think of Jimmy?
I don't. It's hard to say. I don't. And it may not be a move this year. It may not be till this summer, because they still have another year or so before they have to extend Vic on his rookie extension to give him his rookie extension. So smart move on their part. We obviously know what De'Aaron Fox is. You know, I know Sacramento doesn't get a lot of play, but De'Aaron Fox is, you know, one of the best guards in the league. And
pretty clutch too, by the way.
Very clutch. And also going to be interesting to see how they use him. I could see them using him, obviously, on ball, but also having him play off ball with Chris Paul, you know, playing both of them in the backcourt together. The two-man game with him and Victor Wembanyama will be, you know, a sight to see. I think it would be very similar to what we thought it was going to be with Luka and Kristaps Porzingis in Dallas. That never really came to fruition. But that said, it's a great move by the Spurs. The Spurs want to be back in, you know, playoff contention and eventually, you know, want to be back in championship contention. Good move for the Spurs. From the Bulls' perspective, obviously, you know, the biggest complaint for the Bulls the last several years has been pick a direction.
Direction.
Either shut it down or go all in. But staying in the middle for the last umpteen years that you have has gotten you nowhere. So it seems finally the Bulls are going to embrace the we need to tear this thing down and rebuild, and I'm assuming they'll be taking calls on their entire roster outside of the rookie. Buzelis, thank you. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. And then from Sacramento's perspective, you know, it was the writing was on the wall with De'Aaron once he, you know, declined to sign the extension. I was a little surprised he didn't sign the extension just because they over the last couple of years they've been trending up, you know, with him and Sabonis as kind of the, you know, the core guys, and then, you know, filling out around with Keegan Murray and Malik Monk and others. But you know, they got
no loyalty in this game.
Well, I mean, I don't even want to call it loyalty. I mean, the business side is that hey, you sign a contract. At the end of that contract, you have rights as a free agent. That's what Oscar Robertson, you know, fought for. And that's why we have free agency, NBA free agency today, because of Oscar Robertson. So
shout out to Big O.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, it's that's the nature of the business. And Sacramento as an organization did not want to lose Fox for anything, for nothing, excuse me. No. So, you know, this gives them a chance to reset. I would be very surprised if they keep both LaVine and DeRozan, because we've seen this experiment before. It did not work. Mm-hmm. Why would it work now? So it'll be interesting to see if one of them is moved, you know, before Thursday. But that said, and LaVine, I will say, you know, Zach LaVine's having a good season. He was having a really good season. And you're talking about someone who really rebuilt their value this season. Zach LaVine did that. You know,
he almost shooting 50, 40, 90, Sean, too, by the way.
Yeah. So
he is, yeah.
You know, so yeah. So the fact that he's doing that, obviously not on a great team, but he's showing that he could still be one of those guys. Mm-hmm. You know, so how many teams are going to be out there interested in him potentially, you know, before Thursday, if, you know, the Kings want to flip him for, you know, more assets. So, you know, I think it was a good trade for all three teams. Again, I know you have one issue with the Bulls in this trade, mm-hmm. and I totally want to hear from you on that.
First, I want to talk about the Spurs trade. Excellent, excellent pull by the San Antonio Spurs to get a young player like De'Aaron Fox. And then you obviously see you got a franchise player in Wembanyama. So instead of trading him, you build around him like they just did with De'Aaron Fox, and you trusted him to let him grow and figure out his problems if he has problems, especially when he gets you to the finals. But I think this was a big move for them, though. De'Aaron Fox, one of the clutchest point guards in the league, one of the fastest point guards in the league, especially when it comes to downhill attacking. I think this added a different dynamic to the San Antonio Spurs when it comes to the fast break. And with the pick and roll game with him and Wimby would be devious, because now if Wimby goes for the pick and pop, De'Aaron Fox attacking the rim is dangerous, and that mid-range game is dangerous. But I also like the fact of having Chris Paul there to help actually mentor De'Aaron Fox to add more to his playmaking game. Because I think if he add more to that arsenal with the vision of Chris Paul and the leadership skills that Chris Paul have, I think that'd be excellent. But also seeing what he can do off the ball with a passer like Chris Paul with him too. Zach LaVine to the Kings. I think the Kings were just in do or die mode. We got to get something. I think they're more happy with the picks than they got over LaVine, because that LaVine contract is devastating no matter how much he's having an outbreak year. And for my Chicago Bulls, I'm happy that we got off rid of LaVine, and the main part is that we got to pick a direction. First thing first, y'all, let me say this. I want to apologize to Garpax. I complain so much about Garpax, but I can tell you right now, we would at least had a direction if we was doing something. We would have, or at least if we didn't have no direction, they would have made some moves. These AK has been, or AKME, if you want to put them, they got their nickname too, has been doing nothing. And it's been stuff going on with this team, and they just literally sat there. I want to be like the meme with the stick, like, bro, do something. Oh, we going to wait for Lonzo Ball to come back. Then come back there. After the first year, he didn't come back. You pulled the main moves, broke the team up. Oh, Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan don't work together. You pulled the trade DeMar 2 years ago and brought somebody else in. You pulled the trade the year DeMar had that MVP caliber season. I would trade DeMar that offseason. That's the most value you're going to get for him. Why didn't you do it? They don't do nothing. They make me have to go back and apologize to Garpax. He's that bad. He's literally that terrible. He got this, if I'm trying to tell you, because I noticed that Reinsdorf in play to try to go 41-41 every year. Can we stop doing that? Stop going to the games, y'all. Please stop going to the games. But only thing that made me a little upset about this trade is, like, we pretty much just got a bunch of role players and our pick back. Like, we couldn't get another pick. We couldn't go get with Keegan Murray. Try to say we could get Keegan Murray. Because, like, how do you trade this and don't get Keegan Murray at least to talk about it? Because be like, hey, y'all ain't going to need Keegan Murray no more. So why is we not trying at least? But they probably did. But if for the Bulls side of perspective, I think if we was gonna trade, all I'm saying is I would have left the pick over there. Forget the pick and try to get Keegan Murray. Because Sean, all I'm saying is that the pick is top 10 protected. And if you look at how our team look right now, we probably gonna be in the top 10 for that pick, regardless. So We could have left the pick over there and just got another player. And then just balled, just let the rookies play, let all the young guys play, tank the season, get Vooch up out of there, trade Lonzo, get Lonzo up out of there. Only person probably could keep is like Bouzelis and Kobe White. And then just let the starting five be probably Giddy, Kobe White, Bouzelis, or, you know, Giddy, Kobe White, Keegan Murray or something. But we're going to see how it goes. But I definitely think they should have added something else. But I'm happy Zach gone, not as the player-wise, but contract-wise, and we got a direction. That's why I'm happy that Zach gone. And I know I didn't get to ask Sean, but we had to do a quick grade on every trade real quick. You don't got nothing for it.
I have no, you know, my big thing with trade grades, I actually hate them.
Because I think the Mavericks and the Lakers trade, we won't really be able to grade it 2 years later.
Right. And so that's why, I mean, it's like giving an immediate trade. But I will say, if I were going to grade the Mavericks' handling of the trade, F minus.
Right. You know. But, Sean, this is one of the biggest trades we just seen in a long time. And it made me look to think, what was the biggest trade of like two stars of all time? Because usually to be like role players back and forth. I mean, role players plus a star player. So I've been searching. So I had a couple that I looked up, and I'm like, man, okay. We got when Shaq got traded to the Heat in 04.
Karan Butler, Brian
Grant. Karan Butler, Lamar Odom, Brian Grant, and like two picks.
And it was one pick. It was the first round pick.
No, it was the first and the second. First and the second.
That's right. It was. We don't care about the
second. We don't care about the second. That's why I really talk about the picks. The picks, though. I mean, if y'all want to hit a pick, say the pick. Then next, remember, KG got traded to the Celtics. It had Big Al Jefferson, Jared Green, Ryan Gomes, Steel Ratliff, Sebastian Telfair, first round pick 2029, two first round picks, and one a star player. You know, the Melo trade, it was like a lot of people, but got to go to every point of that trade. Wasn't really no stars in there. Then you got Kevin Love. Wiggins was the first round pick, but he wasn't really a star. Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, maybe DeRozan Rose was an all-star, but he wasn't like a all-NBA player. Like, because Anthony Davis and Luka was two all-NBA players, like all-NBA caliber players. So what's the biggest NBA trade in history that you think could come close to this? Or if it's not – if you can find two players of value, or maybe just one big player, what is biggest trade rank with this AD and Luka trade?
I mean, it's this, I think, has got to be the biggest one in terms of all NBA players. I mean, obviously, we've seen all stars get traded for each other. Thinking back, like Mark Aguirre and Adrian Dantley, both were all stars, even though Adrian Dantley was the better player, if we're being real.
Yes.
Please, if y'all don't know about Adrian Dantley, please go check out Adrian Dantley. You know, it's generally, you know, generally when a star player or a superstar player gets traded, usually it's a, you know, for a bunch of pieces. It's never for another star, you know, straight up. So this is why, again, one of the other kind of intriguing things about this trade is that we rarely see two star players get traded for each other, even though people mostly in their right mind would say Luka's the better player.
Yes. Because I mean, he is the better player in general, but and it does help that he's 25 years old and he's younger. So I always go with the younger player. If they like, honestly, Luka probably like right here. That's what Davis like play right here.
Right. Yeah. So, So again, I think, you know, it's just, it's such a rarity. Normally, it's always, again, a player getting traded for a bunch of pieces to team up with one or two other star players. So I think about, like, you know, Earl Monroe, when he got traded to the Knicks, you know, it was not for a star player. It was, you know, a couple pieces. I think Mike Riordan and Dave Stallworth were in that trade, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But, you know, Kareem, you know, when he got traded to the Lakers, it wasn't for a star player. It was for, you know, like three guys and I think a pick. You know, so this is a very, very rare swap. Very rare swap. I mean, even in other sports, you just don't see these type of swaps. So it's a big trade. It's definitely a big trade. And definitely one of the biggest in NBA history.
Yeah. I couldn't find. I've been looking like a lot for like two star players, but I think the probably the biggest trade. Yeah, this is probably the big name wise. Ain't nothing bigger than this right now. I'm sorry, it's nothing bigger than this. Oh, it's, yeah. Especially if this, imagine this was like when Lakers first got AD and they had to trade for like young AD too. That would have been this has been crazy, but I don't think it would have probably happened because he's like, you ain't giving up young AD, but
right.
Well, I mean, but I can't say that because you ain't giving up a young Luka, but yeah, what do I know? Sharp episode 140. Who you got?
Gale Sayers. Gale Sayers, the great, the Kansas Comet, the great Gale Sayers.
The great Gale Sayers. I like that.
A couple other guys I can think of. Obviously, Udonis Haslem as a Heat fan. Udonis Haslem.
I know you're gonna say UD.
But yeah, Gale Sayers, UD.
Also, Sean, I got a question for you too. As a Heat fan, how do you feel? I don't know if you've seen the picture. People was like, yeah, the Heat just revealed a Udonis Haslem statue ahead. I'm sitting on the bench. I'm like, hey, don't disrespect UD like that.
Yeah, let's not do that. First of all, UD will see you in the streets if you disrespect.
He would. Him. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, hey, if UD catch you made that AI statue with him sitting on the bench, hey, I'm trying to tell you, you're gonna see 40 paws.
Yeah, yeah. When they say he real. Like,
he
let's real. Not do that. So, yeah. You know, but yeah. So yeah, Gale Sayers and UD would be my picks.
Gale Sayers and UD for yours. I'm gonna go the great Sean Kemper, the Rain Man.
Rain Man.
Gotta go Rain Man. Appreciate you guys for listening. It's been another great episode of Real Take Show, Fake the Base SB. And Sean, we always live every Monday and Friday. And if you want to give us a listen, make sure you guys please rewatch the videos. We definitely be clipping up the episodes. I love to see that you guys have been watching the bits and clips of the episodes. So we definitely gonna clip more of our episodes on YouTube. But also, go to Spotify, Apple, and listen to us. And then make sure you guys follow us on Instagram, SB Talk Sports, Sean Yours, MSMW34. Follow Real Takes Old Faith the Base on all platforms. We appreciate you guys for listening to us. We're going to keep bringing you guys more content. And if anything else y'all want to add, also don't forget to leave a comment. We're going to bring the mailbag back too. Y'all was doing good with that. Or just leave us a comment and say, hey, this is a segment I want you guys to talk about. Let us know. SB Talk Sports, Sean Webb. This has been another great episode of Real Takes Over Fake Debates. And see you guys on the next one. Peace. Real Takes Over Fake Debates.